Hey there, you're listening to Virago Pod, a podcast that is dedicated to empowering and improving the physical and mental health of female athletes everywhere.
This podcast is brought to you by The Virago Project, a nonprofit organization that helps female athletes balance sports with life.
I'm your host, Emily McGee Zaslowski.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Tracy. Let's jump right into the episode.
Hi, guys, and welcome. My name is Emily McGee Zaslowski.
Hi, and my name is Taylor Tracy.
I am somewhat a newlywed, so let's just go with that. It's only been, a year and a half now, so still getting used to the Zaslowski. But I am really excited to bring you our next podcast guest, Paige Williams. I went to college with Paige at UNC, and she was a softball player, and she saved me many a nights. I slept on her futon. And so we go way back. So I'm really excited for you guys to meet Paige and listen to some of her light and energy she brings.
Yep. And Paige is now the director of operations for Arkansas softball team, University of Arkansas. So she has a lot of good insight on what women athletes are going through right now, college women athletes more specifically. So yeah, I'm really excited for this conversation to see just kind of, you know, what she's observed in her athletes and what she thinks, you know, they need help with most. So yeah.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting view to get both from the athlete's perspective and coach's perspective. So I'm really excited for Paige. Let's go ahead and bring her on.
Cool.
Hey, Paige?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine.
Great. Well, as you know, I am Emily, but this is Taylor. Have you guys ever met at UNC? I feel like we didn't really overlap much.
Yeah, we met, Taylor, didn't we?
Yeah, so Paige and I met in college because she was good friends with one of our teammates, as we know, Heather. And then also, also we were at a wedding together, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't remember which or whose it was. But I remember sitting there at a table with you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fun. Well, it'll be good to catch up. And I guess, so for those of you who do not know Paige and her background, Paige, would you mind sharing a little about your history and athletic background and what you're doing now as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just really pumped to be on here because I think this platform, I mean, I know you guys created this like for a reason because we all could have used it as athletes in college. So I'm just really pumped to be here and to support anybody listening in. But I played softball at the University of North Carolina, and which is where I met you guys. And then from there, I took a job in college athletics. I'm skipping a few years, but I took a job at the University of Arkansas as the director of softball operations. And I had no idea what a director of operations did because we didn't have one for our team. And I don't think you guys had one for yours, but SEC schools were starting to incorporate the position. And so I took that job. I was actually looking on my Workday application today, which is just a software that tracks you being at the university. But anyways, it was saying that I've been there 5 years, 1 month, and a couple days. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah. It's
congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's a long time.
It's been a really big blessing because the reason I got back into college athletics as a career choice was because I just really missed that fire and passion. And I mean, there's really not a lot of other scenarios in my life besides college athletics and competing where you felt that. So it was that feeling that I was looking for in going to find a job. It's a dream job for anybody that doesn't know. It is an avenue you can pursue if you want to work in athletics. It's basically the glue that holds a program together. You oversee budget, equipment, getting Nike gear for your athletes, team events, you know, dinners. I mean, you name it. You're basically kind of like an executive assistant to all of your coaches and also a liaison between your program and all the other departments at the university, like marketing, compliance, et cetera. So I had done that for the first couple years and I'm still in this position and I started my business, which I'm most excited about and I run it virtually, but I started that about 2 years into my time at Arkansas. And so in my business, I'm a performance coach, and I help females feel better to perform better, whether that is in sport, career, business, or life. And so that is where I'm at.
Man, that is like a dream job, because I'm thinking back to all, I had a double major in exercise and sports science, and all those like marketing sports, like it was like my dream job, but I could never figure out what position I could actually have that still involves sports and my love for business and marketing and all of that. So that seems like it's a really unique opportunity. Andy, it sounds like having someone with the actual experience, you are like a huge, like a perfect fit, that you can actually talk to the girls, the coaches, and be a reliable, trustworthy source. So that seems like the perfect fit for any athlete that has any sort of business interest, but still a passion for sport.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a dream.
Yeah.
So what were, going back since back, as in say, is it 10 years now since we were really playing? what were some of the biggest struggles you faced as a collegiate athlete? And how did you deal with them during that time?
So to answer your question directly, I struggled with playing time most of my college career, and I could blame it on the coaches. I could blame it on missed opportunities and, you know, all of the other things I want to blame it on to make myself feel better ultimately. But at the end of the day, I didn't rise to the challenge. And I mostly attribute that to a weak mentality that I had. To be honest, it was a lack of playing time and, but on my accord, obviously, like I was saying, and also playing small. So yeah. With the first one, a lack of playing time, it was, I remember freshman year specifically going in. I remember my very first fall game, my very first at bat, I hit a home run and I was just like, wow, this is so fun. You know? And I was just like, God, this is a blast. And like, I was one of our first freshmen and it was just really cool. But the thing I remember thinking is like, well, Paige, stay in your lane because there's a All-American shortstop in front of you. So just stay in your lane and like next year you'll get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Where looking back, I really wish I would have challenged that and been like, well, the position isn't guaranteed to anybody and why not me, right? And so that was really tough to swallow looking back on. And the other thing playing small is kind of just that. It's like, okay, when I play small, I'm worried about everything else around me. I'm worried about what the coach thinks about the lineup and how she's going to set that. And I worry about what, you know, who the coaches are focusing their time most on, instead of worrying about the one thing I could control, which was me, and making it to where, to not where I wasn't focusing on everybody else. I was focusing on what can I do to put myself in the conversation and what can I do to give the choices, give the coaches no choice but to play me.
I think that you brought up some really good points, and I appreciate no specific shout outs, but I will throw myself under the bus as well. So I was talking with Taylor some before about how, you know, how we met and talked about like the unstoppable little trio we had there for a little bit freshman year when I became your guys' third roommate, and shout out to Heather. Totally, I'll make her listen this. But we were all freshmen. We were all kind of trying to navigate this coming from a program where we were, for lack of better term, studs, and came in freshman year where we weren't playing. We weren't, the coaches didn't know us. So, you know, we felt like we weren't always had that relationship with coaches that some of the upperclassmen had already established. So we also kind of fell into this trap of kind of negativity and justification among each other's. So freshman year, where it's tough enough, I mean, point blank, I would not have survived my freshman year if it weren't for you and Heather. But like looking back, it was this kind of like, we were all, you know, kind of stuck in the trenches, like you said, and we felt really helpless. And to some extent, you know, coming in as a freshman with no record on your back, but we did definitely have some times of it was, you know, self-pity, negative talking to each other, complaining, especially because we weren't on the same team. So I know it was really felt like a safe place that I could confide in you, mm-hmm. and where I felt really sad and unhappy because I wasn't someone that was on my team. But it is definitely something that, you know, probably didn't help. Like it helped daily, those Ben and Jerry pints on the weekends surviving, but it wasn't necessarily the healthiest thing for our mentality mindset that freshman year where it's already tough. And hi guys, Emily from The Future Editing. Taylor and I were actually talking after we recorded this episode about how, you know, kind of commiserating more about our freshman year. And we were thinking back to episode 3, where we talked about it with Taylor as well. And we want to have a little bonus episode for you guys, a little do's and don'ts of your freshman year that you guys can send. So we're going to have a bonus episode that goes out just with some quick do's and don't takeaways from our experience that can help. All right, back to your regularly scheduled program with Paige and Taylor and myself. I think anyone, even from a freshman in high school to a freshman in college, that kind of unsure of where you fit as a freshman is something that I think a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, for anybody going through that experience now or has been, I think that it's just uncharted territory. And I my heart goes out to all the freshmen this year too, because on top of it, of all the unknowns that you're experiencing as a, you know, freshman in college, you're also experiencing a pandemic, which is an unknown for all of us. So I know our teams felt that heavily.
Yeah, it's like, how can you have team bonding when you can't even get, you know, close, and some people are still doing remote learning? So I guess speaking on that, since I'm not sure how individually you work with the girls there, but what kind of struggles have you seen this year specifically in COVID, and in general, what you found from your view of an administration staff down to these collegiate athletes that you found are some of the struggles that these girls are facing?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have these class meetings where every so often the classes, like the freshmen, will sit down with two of the coaching staff, you know, the sophomores will sit down with two, the juniors and the seniors. And we actually had one today, so it's perfect timing. And our assistant coach asked the group, it was her and I sitting down with our junior class. And she said, okay, I want you to quantify your experience pre-COVID to your experience now during the pandemic, and how your days are comparatively speaking, like good and bad. So like, for example, if you were really struggling, or if you were doing really well before COVID, you would say maybe like 80% good days, 20% bad days. I hope that
makes
sense.
Yeah, it does.
And then during the pandemic now, we were trying to get an assessment of like, okay, how much has this affected your mental health? I mean, talking with the coaches after these meetings, it was very evident that different classes experience this differently. Like the freshman class is really challenged. Yeah. But in the junior class, what was shared was more so just the heightened sense of, I guess for lack of a better word, not feeling grounded, because there's so much uncertainty. It's like there's uncertainty right in front of you, but there's also uncertainty down the road, because for us in a spring sport, it's like, okay, well, we're watching how all the, you know, the fall and the winter sports are unfolding, but then we're about to get into the spring where what happens now could affect us, or something down the road could affect us. What I found is effective in helping with that uncertainty is just really, really coming back to the things that you do know for certain. Like, you have a great coaching staff that is going to take care of you. You have systems in place that it's going to prioritize your health, right? And not only acknowledging that, but coming back to that on a regular basis, right? It's not often that we need new information. We need to be reminded of these things, or else our brains will spiral. It's kind of how we're predispositioned. We have about 60,000 thoughts a day. 90% of them are repetitive, and 80% of them are on the useless or negative end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So without that continual reminder, if we don't have those systems in place, then it is going to be easy to spiral down that rabbit hole and continually feel that heightened sense of anxiety or overwhelm because of the uncertainty.
And I was just thinking, like, having a gratitude practice, which is that practice alone sounds so similar to what you've just mentioned, talking about recognizing the fact that you have amazing coaches, that you have, like, I mean, the girls at Arkansas, you're at, you know, a wonderful SEC school, and like, you still have those things in place. They're not going anywhere. Well, unless, you know, maybe you're a senior and you're out, that's kind of a different scenario, but just like being reminded of all of the reasons of everything that you have that you can be grateful about. I feel like that's such so important during this time, especially when it can be so easy to focus on the negative things. I have a question, Paige, because I feel like there is a lot of toxic positivity going around lately. And so, although I did just say, like, yes, we should count our blessings and, like, you know, try to just be mindful of, again, all the things we need to be grateful about, all the things that we do have, I will say that there is something, I guess, important about not wallowing in your sorrows, of course. That's never a good thing, but acknowledging them. And I am curious how your athletes at Arkansas, how you guys have kind of helped them navigate the emotions that are there. Because I'm sure you're not just, you know, like, oh, it's fine, get over it. Like, no one's doing that. So I was just wondering if you had any systems in place to kind of help the girls navigate those emotions that are negative, because they are there and we should honor them.
Oh, 110%. I think that's one of the biggest fallacies too when it comes to coaching, was that you had to be positive all the time. And it's just not like it's not like that. We're designed really to fill a spectrum of like 12 different emotions, half of which are negative. Or, you know, I don't know if I'd call them negative, but like not desirable. Right. And so it's part of who we are, and whatever we resist persists. So if we're trying to flush, you know, some of those less desirable thoughts and feelings down and not acknowledge those, then it's going to manifest in one way or another. I know for me in college it was, I became ultra independent. So I wasn't talking to my family. And I always thought, well, I'm just like independent, I don't need them. But that's a kind of a trauma response. And so that's the way that I wasn't acknowledging the things that I was feeling. And so I think it's really, really important to be heard. I would say that's the number one thing that really helps when you're in a space where you don't want to overkill with like, okay, positivity, I got to just like put on my big girl pants and move on. It's finding those people where you really feel heard, whether it's a mentor, a coach, a trusted friend, somebody that's can be objective. That's the other really important part, right? Because like our friends want us to like them. So maybe they're not always objective, and it's really important to feel heard. I have a lot of resources that I've built to help me feel better, so that I can perform better, but also in the same breath, help me understand that feelings don't define who I am, and they're more of something that I experience versus something that defines who I am and what I can and can't do.
Totally. Weakness is something that's, you know, really in female athletes, women athletes are often really seen as bad. Like, I'm thinking like the volleyball, you know, I get hit in the face with a ball by the opponent, like, heaven forbid, my eyes water. And like, if you take that analogy to like COVID right now, is like a big freaking volleyball to the face. And like, if things aren't going well, it's okay. But like, you really, like, you know, female athletes in general are have this stereotype and pressure to be strong and not show emotion and not get upset, and both on and off the court. Volleyball is kind of unique because it's a team sport. And actually, I'm thinking about it, we've talked to volleyball players and track and field, which I guess is some individual, but you're like our first, while softball is also a team sport, I think it has unique pressures on it for personal performance. You have a very clear statistics that, like, I mean, your batting average really isn't impacted by other people, like our hitting averages in volleyball. Mm-hmm. So how do you or your athletes, successfully deal with that kind of performance pressure or performance issues?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the number one thing is that it comes down to understanding that everything matters, right? We get so narrow focused and think that we're the center of attention and we're the center of the world. And, you know, we are the center of our own universes. But everything really does matter. So what I mean by that is, like, it would be easy for me to go to the plate, strike out, and think like, well, there goes my opportunity, right? They're just going to find somebody else to pinch hit for me. I literally used to think that. I would think I had one opportunity and then somebody would pinch hit for me.
Yeah.
Instead of taking advantage of that opportunity and just really going after it. It was like I was playing the defensive while trying to play offense for my team. I was in a defensive mindset. And it was because I had that tunnel vision, right? I like put all the pressure on that one performance when in reality, what the coaches are looking at, am I swinging at good pitches? That goes into consideration. Am I fouling off balls really hard, right? A strong game presence where the pitcher feels my presence when I step into the box. Am I willing to get hit by a pitch because I know that means that there's a free base for me? Like, what is my on base percentage, right? So where the numbers can be really tough in a losing sport where like a 300 batting average is decent, you know, getting on 3 times out of 10 or getting hits 3 times out of 10, what can really work in my favor numbers wise is what are all the things I'm willing to do to get on base? And how gritty am I being in my approach offensively to get on base? And like, am I standing at the plate just ready to just bear down on the ball? Or am I standing up there playing defense, thinking about not getting a hit and then getting pinch hit for? So it comes down to one, controlling what you can control, but I think that's kind of overused, to be honest. I would just push that envelope a little bit forward and instead of saying, okay, well, I could play small here and worry about everybody else, I could just believe bigger of myself and just understand that there's so many different ways the coaches are looking at my opportunities. And not only that, those stack up over time. There's a compound effect, right? Like if I'm taking really hard, aggressive cuts at the ball, even though they foul off, they're a foul ball, my coaches are thinking, and so are the girls on the field that I'm playing against, like, oh, shoot, if she makes contact with that, it's going somewhere, right? Another thing that I wanted to come back to that I didn't realize when I was an athlete is that, yes, when we're freshmen, we step onto the field, they've seen what we've done and they felt confident enough in our ability to offer us, you know, a position with the program, but they don't know our body of work playing at that competition level. So it's our job to be as consistent and as gritty as possible because it takes time to build that trust. So whereas it's easy for athletes to think, oh, well, coaches have, you know, their favorites, et cetera. Well, their job is to win the game and they're going to put the most effective group on the field to win the game or on the court or, you know, in the pool or whatever it may be. And a lot of it has to do with how much they trust those players and how much they've seen them in positions where they're having to trust them.
Yeah, no, that's huge. Because I'm thinking too, like my senior year when I did kind of develop that play, was someone better at practice me, like an underclassman better at practice? Taylor even like that week? Probably.
No. However, no, it wasn't me.
Well, let's say sophomore year,
trust
Taylor.
Me. Our assistant coach told me that I was the worst freshman ever to come through program history. Like, real talk.
Okay,
yeah. But, hey, I left one of the best.
But, hey, so. I was gonna say, and you made it through your freshman year, right? That's half of it. But I might not have been. But once you have that trust of the coaches, so I think you bring up, you know, a lot of things that players may not have thought about for the, like, you know, you want to be more specific than control what you can control. But I think asking your coaches as well, they may have different things. Like, yes, that player might have been best on stats that week, but they might have been kind of slacking off in the weight room and the coaches saw that and they're like, oh, their head's not really in the game, even though their stats are good. So I think having that open dialogue to be open to things you may not even have thought you were controlling are in your control and matter. So I think that's, you know, a phenomenal point you bring up because like Taylor said, she may have started, she redshirted her freshman year for listeners. So she started with, you know, a lot of development wise, but then became like a go-to player through lots of trust, right? Lots of reps, lots of day in and day out, her busting her butt for people to see that.
Lots of tears.
Yeah.
All right.
So I actually want to go back to something, Paige, that we talked about before we even started recording that I think our listeners will really be able to relate to. And that's these discomforts that you were talking about that not only athletes, but, you know, retired athletes in their careers may be able to relate to this. Can you go into more detail about that?
Oh, yeah, no problem. So the three... And this is also based off of market research I've done with people that I follow, people that I've reached out to before. The three biggest challenges, day-to-day challenges that women face are overwhelm, anxiety, and negative self-talk. In no particular order, but overwhelm I hear most often when there's a lot of different avenues to pursue on the table, whether it's, you know, do I want to play this sport in college or this sport in college? Or is it, I have this idea, I don't know where to start. I could turn it into a business. I'm not sure what to do with it. So then overwhelm results in just kind of shutting down and not taking any step at all. So that's one of them. The anxiety comes from kind of on the opposite side of that, not shutting down, but it's been described to me before as like a bouncy ball in their system. Other females have described it as just their head spinning. And I can't particularly speak on anxiety. That is most often from worrying too much about something that you don't have control over and kind of wanting that control. So whether it's something in the future, whether it's, you know, still hanging on to baggage from the past that you haven't dropped, that's where that anxiety comes from most often when I hear it from clients. And then the other one, the negative self-talk, is just really, really apparent, especially with female athletes. I've worked with golfers, I've worked with basketball players, I've worked with the negative self-talk is probably just the biggest toxic one, because nobody's holding you accountable to that, right? So you talk to yourself and you think these things, and often they're in the background, they're in your subconscious. Maybe you think them when you first wake up, but that's where gratitude and positive self-talk comes into play, because it's like, okay, it's your job to pull the weeds, right? So Tony Robbins has a really awesome quote about, if you don't pull the weeds, they'll continue to grow. And the weeds in this case would be the negative self-talk, and you have to continually pull that and plant, you know, healthy seeds and allow for yourself to feel better. And you can contribute to that. And it's just that continuous practice. You know, I write gratitude in my journal every single morning. But there's days where I don't feel it as strongly, and it does feel like more of a chore than it does authentic, but I do it anyways because I know and trust in the habit.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I mean, even thinking of, you know, the Virago Project, I met with Taylor in a Panera in the mall, like over 2 years ago. Is that right? And here we are just kind of finally joining. She's been working really hard on it the last 2 years. And, you know, just finally in the last like 12 months or so, you know, she did the, you know, she made it, got an LLC, got a nonprofit, got a web page set up, got the Instagram page set up. It's like all this stuff takes so much time. And what's the goal? The goal is to improve female women athletes' mental health around sport. Like, that is just such a big thing that's easy to get overwhelmed by, because there's so many obstacles. There's so many, it's such a big problem, right? Like, how do you even tackle that? But you can't even make a dent if you don't get started. So I can relate to that on even this Virago Pod, Virago Project. Here we are trucking away. But it's definitely not easy. It's not easy. You can be super passionate about something and it's still not easy. So I can't imagine, you know, my other career in finance that I haven't been super passionate about. It's hard to wake up energized. It's hard to wake up excited about going to work. It's hard to have those, you know, discomforts present when you can't even say you're passionate about what you do. So I think that's, you know, a great thing. All three of those things to think about when you're feeling uncomfortable and feeling that something's not right, to try to identify one of those three areas to see better be able to tackle it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I want to add on that too, like Paige, you just mentioned overwhelm, negative self-talk, and anxiety. And like, just rolling off of what Emily said, like, I would definitely say that the Virago Project is like the biggest project I've ever taken on. And like, when I started conceptualizing it, like, I felt so overwhelmed. And just like anyone who's setting a goal that like seems so far away, like, it can feel like so overwhelming. to the point where it's like, and this is where the negative self-talk comes in, where like any hurdle I saw in my way, like I would immediately think like, okay, now I can't do it because of this. And like, now I can't do it because of that. And like for you, Paige, it sounded like, okay, there was like that all-American hitter like in front of you and like, you can't start until she's gone. And like, I felt the same way about like different organizations who were helping out like college athletes and sport and stuff. I was like, okay, well, they're there, so I can't do it. And then like, you care about it so much, so you just get anxiety because you're not doing it and you're talking about what, or you're talking negatively to yourself about what you can and can't do. And then like, you feel a different sense of overwhelm. So yeah, shout out to Emily for being my person and helping me get this thing done. And Paige, shout out to you for standing by all of your clients and the women of Arkansas softball, helping them, you know, pull through it. Cause sometimes you just need a friend there to just help.
Yeah. And I'll be open and vulnerable here too. Like I tend to ride like high end of the spectrum. I'm usually like pretty bubbly a lot of the time. And so it's really hard for me because I've identified with this persona for so long, and it is authentic, right, to some extent, but like I'm also human, so like because I've identified with that so long, whenever I do feel down or lower or one of the lower vibration feelings, it's really hard for me to be open and honest about that. And so like it was just last week that I was on a call with my coach and my business coach, and I was like, here's how I'm feeling. Feel like complete doo-doo and like I should just throw in the towel, and you know that is a little bit dramatic, but I was really feeling down, and it just took saying that out loud and being honest about it that made me feel so much better. And the other thing I wanted to bring up that I think is too important not to share is a lot of times we get so binary in our thinking, it's like it's really debilitating. So like thinking, for example, I feel like crap right now, so I suck. It's like, mm-hmm. That doesn't have to be true. You can still say like, I absolutely love who I am, and I'm having a bad day, or, and I'm experiencing a season of emotion that I don't enjoy. Right. So like replacing, our sports psychologist talked to our team about this last week, but replacing, but with and in your sentence can make a world of difference. And another really great example was my head coach was sharing this. I hope she doesn't listen. she was sharing this about like her husband. She was saying, if I say I love you, but you're frustrating the heck out of me right now, all he's going to hear is you're frustrating the heck out of me right now. But if you say I love you and you're frustrating the heck out of me right now, you're acknowledging that both can be true and both can function together. And it's just a lot easier to move forward understanding that. And I mean, I think our political climate talks about, you know, the negative effects of all the binary thinking. So I wanted to share that.
No, I love that because I'm a to-do list person. And so I want to do, let's say 10 things, that's aggressive for me, but then I end up doing 4 things. And I get very discouraged because I did, you know, but what about the laundry? It's like, okay, no, I'm saying that already. I was thinking that as I have a pile of clean clothes on my bed, but I did the dishes. I unloaded and did the dishes. And that's really like, why am I focusing on what is left at the end of the day on my to-do list? So I think that's actually something that, especially in COVID, when for retired athletes, no matter what happened, I woke up, I went to weights, I went to class, I did film, and I did practice. Like, that is a full day where I feel accomplished. I could have had bad practice, bad film, bad class, but I did it. And so much of my day is focused around this checklist of vague tasks, and it's easy to focus on what didn't get done, but what did get done. And I think that's a little off track of what you were saying, but still, like, the same concept, which is important to remember.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
I think that's a great reminder, and, you know, kind of trying to remove that stigma of these mental health issues, because even, you know, anxiety is a mental health issue that, you know, a lot of times people just sit, like, don't even realize that this is something that they can talk to someone with about, get on medication for, just having these outlets. Okay, so that is like all the questions that I kind of had in my head for you, Paige. Do you have anything else you want to add, or anything else you want to say?
I just want to leave your audience with this. It's like if you can expose yourself to different perspectives, whether it's your coach, your teammates, a therapist, sports psychology, your parents, if you trust them, that's what I found is just the most helpful in like navigating life. Like at the end of the day, we were just talking about it. It's like one of the biggest misconceptions of being an adult is that you have it all together. And maybe you don't feel like that in college, but really, everybody's just winging it and everybody's faced with challenges and we're all trying to navigate the day-to-day, even if it doesn't look that way on social media. I just encourage everybody who's listening to this incredible platform to have more of these conversations with people in your network. And if you don't feel like you have those people in your network, find somebody to have conversations with. And it's only going to broaden your way of thinking, give you more tools to navigate life, but also it's going to help you feel better because connection is key.
Yeah, because if you're feeling better, performing better on and off the court in life, just having that mindset in a healthier spot.
Yeah,
Yeah,
100%. And
definitely.
I'm so glad you guys have the, I'm so glad that this is here. And Taylor, like, it's just been an honor to watch you. And I'm so proud of you and Emily for you being on board now. It's just really cool. The world needs more people like you guys.
Thanks so much, Paige. We really
Thank you,
appreciate it.
Paige. All right, I am doing this outro solo today. What a great episode. I'm really excited that we had these discussions and it prompted us to make that bonus episode. So go ahead and listen to that now and be sure to share that with any freshmen you know or anyone in high school, because I definitely wish I would have had that information when I was making some college decisions in high school as well. And next week, we actually have a great episode for you where this week was all looking about the outlook of, being benched or having that freshman year you didn't expect. Next week, we're overcoming an injury. So it's a really great episode with one of my former teammates. So stay tuned for that next Tuesday. We also want to have a little merchandise giveaway. Thanks to all your support, we are going to give away some merch at the end of December to a lucky winner who fills out a review on Apple Podcasts. So just one sentence and rate it. One sentence of an episode you liked, an idea for the future, or just what you think of Virago Project or Virago Pod. It really helps with the algorithm. So thank you so much in advance for leaving that review. We will see you next week with another great episode. I'm really excited. All right, bye guys.